Bhagivaradhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girvaradhari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivakachar Sotara Sadashi Shimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anani Gaudi Vaishnava Vinda Ki Jai Namachar Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prems of Hoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nisananda Shri Advaita Garadara Shivasiri Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopi Nash Shamakunda Radha Kunda Gita Govardhani Ki Jai Vrindavan Dhami Ki Jai Navadip Dhami Ki Jai Gangamayi Ki Jai Yamunamayi Ki Jai Talasi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All glorious and assembled devotees All glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glory to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 14, text 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Tad Bhavan Dayamanayam Sa Patninam Samriddhi Prajavatinam Bhadramte Maya yuktam anugraham tad bhavam dayamanayam satpani nam samriddhi prajavati nam badram te Maya yuktam anugraham tad bhavam dayamanayam sa patni nam samriddhibhi prajavati nam bhadram te maya yuktam anugraham tad bhavam dayamanayam sa patni na samriddhibhi prajavati nam bhadram te maya yuktam anurgaham. Someone could chant. Matijis. Word for word. Tat, therefore, bhavan, your good self, dayamanayam, being distressed, sapatninam, of the co-wise, samriddhibhi, by the prosperity, prajavatinam, of those who have children, badram, all prosperity, te, unto you, mayi, unto me, akuntam, do unto me in all respects, anugraham, favor. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, you should be kind towards me by showing me complete mercy. I desire to have sons, and I am much distressed by seeing the opulence of my co-wives. By performing this act, you will become happy. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, sexual intercourse for beginning children is accepted as righteous. A person sexually inclined for simply sense gratification, however, is unrighteous. and Diti's appeal to her husband for sex, it was not exactly that she was afflicted by sex desires, but she desired sons. Since she had no sons, she felt poorer than her co-wives. Therefore, Kasyapa was supposed to satisfy his bona fide wife. Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhaktivananta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Prasyatya Teshatarne. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the seventh chapter, that I am sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. And he also says in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that I am Kandarbha, the god of love. So in this way, Krishna is there. We just have to have the eyes to see him. And those who follow the regulated principles, they can see Krishna in sex life, although it is abominable. So they see this where others cannot see this. Just like the some people say that, oh, you're offering food to Krishna, but we see the food is still there. So how is this? These fools, they cannot understand that Krishna is not like them. Krishna is not like us. Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita that fools deride me when I descend in this human form. They do not understand my transcendental nature as being the supreme Lord of everything. So Krishna is the supreme Lord of everything, but hardly anyone can understand him. As is stated in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatiti siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvadatha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, but of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So not too many people can see Krishna. Their understanding is covered by ignorance. Just like the sun, when the sun is during the night, we cannot see the sun. But that does not mean that the sun is not there. Not like formerly some ignorant people used to think that when the sun rises, the sun is born. No, the sun is always there, but we cannot always see the sun. So Krishna is always there, and a devotee, he could see Krishna everywhere by his mercy. By his mercy and by the process of bhakti, one could see Krishna in every aspect of life. So in this way, even in sex life, a devotee could see Krishna. Therefore, he follows the regulated principles for seeing Krishna. And a devotee has children to save them from the repetition of birth and death. Therefore, to stay in the shastras, one should not become a mother, one should not become a father, if one can't save one's children from the repetition of birth and death. So Prabhupada said this is religious contraception. If I can't have Krishna conscious children, I will not have any sex life. So the parents, they want to give the greatest welfare to their children, and so this is the greatest welfare. The greatest welfare is to give them freedom from the repetition of birth and death. So in this way, the mother thinks that the child is in my womb. He is my son. This will be his last birth. I will educate him in such a way that he will not take birth again in this material world. But not that we simply feed her child so he becomes fat like an elephant, very strong and fat like an elephant, this will not save him from the repetition of birth and death. But this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, this will save him from the hands of cruel death. So in this way, the devotee performs a different samskaras for purification, so the child will be born with godly qualities. And then after he's born, he is given a Krishna conscious education. Not that he's sent to the slaughterhouse of modern education, but he is trained in the Gurukula, in the Varnashram College, so he'll turn out, by good association, to be a great devotee of the Lord. So in this way, the devotee performs a Gavardham Samskara, which means begetting a child in a godly atmosphere, so that whereupon the child is born with all godly qualities. So in this way, it is stated, and having such children, one can have hundreds of children by following the regulated principles, and thus deliver so many people from the clutches of birth and death. So these regulations are there, and they're actually very strict regulations. Prabhupada mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the householders, they only engage in sex life once a month. This is a Vedic regulation. And also, of course, there's no sex life during pregnancy, and there's no sex life until the child, after the child is born and he's at least 6 months old. So this Garbhodham Samskara is, for the brahmanas, it's a big ceremony. All the relatives and all the learned brahmanas are invited, and they give their permission for the couple to have a child like that. So such sex life, there is no sin, and it's another kind of yajna or sacrifice. So in this way, we have to follow these principles. We have to be with very strong determination. Krishna says, Bhajante mam drita vrata. We have to be very determined to follow these regulations, be determined that in this life, I'm going to go back to home, back to Godhead. So, as mentioned in the purport, there's righteous sex life and there's unrighteous sex life. So by this unrighteous sex life, people become covered over heavily covered over by the three modes of material nature, and they have to take birth again and again in this material world. So this illicit sex life is the beginning of all abominable life, and which is followed one after another by meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. And by this, in society, so many thieves and rogues appear in this world. And so people engage in this activity, and they engage in various demoniac activities for this, such as contraceptives, which Prabhupada mentions is the greatest sinful activity. And by these, one has to suffer. Prabhupada said, by these contraceptive methods, people get cancer. And so in this way, they have to suffer both in this life and the next. And where this Garbhodham Samskara is not performed, then in the higher caste, then the whole family becomes a sudra. So in this way, there's so many Varnashamskara, unwanted population, take birth, and there's no peace or prosperity in the world. So for the twice-born, they engage in sex for propagation of good children, whereas those who engage in sex life simply for enjoyment, they are known as sudras, or those who are less than sudras. So we shouldn't be surprised why people are so much into sense gratification in this world. It's because They're simply a bunch of sutras. This is their nature. So in this way, we have to associate with devotees of the Lord. So as mentioned in the Shastras, Kalo Sudra Sambhava, everybody in this world is a sudra, and this is because hardly anybody is performing this Garbhadham Samskara. Therefore, everybody in this age of Kali are sudras. So, in this way, people engage in sinful activity, and they produce illegitimate children, and by that is stated that they go to hell. They suffer in this life from various venereal diseases, which cause cancer, madness, miscarriages, and leprosy. And by this, they go to hell. So, this description of hell is given in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is stated there that for a man, if he engages with the wife of another man, this is like engaging in sex with one's mother. And if a woman engages in sex life with anyone but her husband, then that's like having sex life with one's son or father. So this way, this is very demoniac. And they go to the hellish planets where they have to embrace a hot iron form of a man or a woman, and this suffer. So after that and other descriptions of the different hellish punishments according to different sinful activities, Prabhupada mentions that one may not believe in these descriptions of hell, but whether one believes it or not, one has to suffer under the laws of material nature, which no one can avoid. So, Prabhupada said, you know, we have to strictly follow this. You promised during the time of initiation to follow these principles. But if you make it a farce and just do anything you want, then I cannot give you protection. It is not possible. So by following these principles, we remain under the protection of Krishna. We remain under the protection of the spiritual master. But if we go off from that, then we remain without protection. So this is very important, especially among the leaders of society. Prabhupada wrote one letter to Brahmananda in 1968. One of Prabhupada's disciples, she left her husband and went to some other guy. And Brahmananda was asking about her being in charge of a center. And Prabhupada says, no, she cannot be in charge of one of our centers. She has to be above suspicion, like that. So this sex desire, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these are bodily demands, and one can avoid these. But one has to do them under regulation. That's when one has to do. Not like the animals. The animals engage simply in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They do not care about transcendental knowledge. But one who is actual human being, one who is actually intelligent, he minimizes eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and he engages in hearing transcendental knowledge. This is the advantage of the human form of life. One could hear about transcendental knowledge. Therefore, we do not find in a meeting like this any cats or dogs are coming into the temple and they're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. No, because they don't have that inclination, they don't have that intelligence. So only the human being has that advantage. So these different four regulator principles, what we follow, are based on the principles of austerity, truthfulness, cleanliness, and mercy. So Prabhupada explains these in different ways. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he explains that illicit sex life destroys cleanliness, that gambling destroys truthfulness, that intoxication destroys mercy, and that killing animals destroys austerity. So he explains that in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But also later in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think it's in the third canto, he mentions how there's three transcendental qualities: cleanliness, austerity, and mercy. And he explains that austerity is there because one engages in not engaging in illicit sex life. So that's austerity. And that mercy is there because we spare the poor animals. And austerity is there because we only eat, or cleanliness is there because we only engage in eating bishadam and we avoid other bad activities. So in this way it is described. So in this material world, sex life is the center of all activities. It is described that it's the highest pleasure and the chief desire in this material world. But by this desire, we are always suffering. It is described like that it's just like placing fire, wood into the fire. It is never satisfied. It burns, keeps on burning. Lust keeps on burning like it's never satisfied, and it burns like fire. And it simply increases the duration of our material existence. So this is a real; these are real problems: birth, death, old age, and disease. But people put aside these problems and think that their real problems are eating, sleeping, mating, and fending. But this is available in any form of life. But only in the human form of life can we conquer over birth, death, disease, and old age. So people engage in this sense gratification, and there may be some kind of feeling of happiness, but this happiness is the actual enemy of the living entity. So this illicit sex life is known as the first sinful principle, and but we have to give all these things up. We have to follow the four regulator principles. By following these principles, we become free from the infection of the material world. And to get out of this material world, one has to become situated in Brahman, or one has to become a Brahmana. So the Brahmana has 9 qualifications. He's truthful. He's learned, he's tolerant, he controls his senses. In this way, there are 9 qualifications. But the preliminary qualification for a Brahmana, it is he has to become free from sin. He has to become pious. And the preliminary qualification of becoming pious or free from sin is following these 4 regulated principles. By following these 4 regular principles and chanting 16 rounds, chanting Hare Krishna, one is sure to go, Prabhupada says, one is sure to go back to home, back to Godhead, without any doubt. We just have to follow these things. And somebody will say, well, how is this possible? This is so difficult. How do we follow these 4 regular principles? And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavatam that simply by attending the classes of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita in the temples of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, one becomes free from the inclination to engage in sinful activities. So just by hearing. So it's not simply that we can follow principles of austerity by our own strength, but we have to hear about Krishna and the association of devotees. In this way, it becomes possible to follow these principles of austerity. So this sex life is a strong shackle in the material world, and it's seen in different ways. Some of the great devotees, like Yamunacharya, he states that as I am now engaged in the service of the Lord, engaging in new and new, hearing his pastimes, which are ever fresh. He says, whenever I think of having sex with a woman, I immediately turn my face and spit at the thought. So such is the attitude of a transcendentalist. You know, sometimes the transcendentalists, they just are completely indifferent to such things, just like Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami, he was born after 16 years in the womb of his mother. He didn't want to come out. He said, it was just Maya. I'll just stay here. But once he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, he decided to come out. And he was completely self-realized. So much so that he just left home. He didn't go through any of the samskaras. He just left home, and he was just walking naked. And he came across some women who were bathing naked, and he just saw them as spirit souls. And they could understand that he was seen, that he was seeing them like that. So that was his position. And also the four Kumaras, they are great souls, and they kept themselves in that position, so they wouldn't become disturbed like that. But they were also great great souls, and like that. So different people see this in different ways. So we have to catch hold of Krishna's feet very tightly. Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya daratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayame tantarantite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered to me can easily cross beyond it. So by holding shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, we could cross over any obstacles of this material world. So this is open to everyone. Everyone could take advantage of this knowledge. It's not that only a certain class can become go back to Godhead and others cannot. No, this is open to everyone. One simply has desire to take it up. So we have to go back to home, back to Godhead. This is what the devotee thinks. Prabhupada mentions that things are becoming rapidly deteriorating in this age of Kali. Don't come back in this material world. Even in my life, I could see so many things as far as these four regulated principles. They're just becoming worse. People are just increasing their sinful activities in this way. So we probably said we should not come back to this material world. It won't be so easy the next time around. We should pray to Krishna, please pick me up very soon and bring me back to your place. So we should not stay in this material world trying to enjoy so-called happiness, but we should just like fruit, if we want to taste a nice fruit, we should approach a tree, a real tree, approach the real reality, and this way we can taste the real fruit. Not that we try to enjoy the reflection of the fruit in this material world. So a tree that is standing by the bank of the river, you could see its reflection of fruit in the water. So you may dive into that water and try to take that fruit, but one will simply be frustrated and confused. But by taking up the real fruit of Krishna consciousness, one will be completely satisfied, and one will be situated in one's real position. So we could stop there. Are there any questions on any of these points? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Shishi, Guru, and Gauranga.